separation. You have climbed, you have fought, you have won. But this valley that lies coldly before you casts a shadow you cannot overcome. And when you thought you had it together, this time all the sorrow broke more than just your heart, and reciting all those verses just won't do. When answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. He is more than just an answer to your prayer, and your heart will find a safe and peaceful rest. Instead of asking why did it happen, think of where it can lead you from here. And as your pain is slowly easing, you can find a greater reason to live your life triumphant through the tears. The tears, the tears. When answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. He is more than just an answer to your prayer, and your heart will find a safe and peaceful refuge. When answers aren't enough, He is there. When answers aren't enough, He is there.
Tonight, appreciate it very, very much. Find Judges. Find the book of Judges in the Old Testament, Judges chapter 2. And we're going to be in some verses here tonight for a little bit. And so find that scripture. In just a moment, we'll stand out of honor to God's Word and read it together. A few verses out of Judges chapter 2. Appreciate your being here on this Mother's Day evening. And we have some folk out visiting, moms and so forth, and with other family members. And, of course, the fellows are still over in Philippines doing well. And I understand they had a great weekend at church over there from what I've heard, which is good news. All right, Judges 2, let's stand together. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 7. Follow along here. The Bible says, "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that He did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, followed other gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth." Don't forget, people, that Paul said in more than one place in our New Testament that all the things that happened to the children of Israel were recorded for our example and for our admonition, our learning, okay? You can take Old Testament stories about the children of Israel and you can make application to our New Testament Christianity. I want to speak tonight for a little bit on the subject of the danger of neutrality. The danger of neutrality. Beware the neutral generation. Beware the neutral generation. Let's pray together. Father, thank You tonight for Your Word. I need Your help. Lord, this is a thoughtful message, so I pray for clarity of mind and thought and speech. And I pray that You'll help us, O Lord, to concentrate and think. And that God, Your Spirit, would have free access to our hearts tonight. May we not decide now that we're not going to listen. May we not decide, Lord, to think about something else. May we give our heart, mind, soul to You right now and ask You, God, corporately as a church, to have Your will, Your way in our lives here tonight as we need it. Help us, oh God, with power, anointing, meet the need in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you and be seated. Please keep your Bible open there. It's amazing how quickly some things can go bad if they are not carefully maintained. It's garden season again. And I'm behind. I don't know about some of you that have gardens. Maybe you've already planted a few vegetables in the ground. And we will, Lord willing, as we can find a little time and as the weather continues to improve. Gardens are examples of what I am talking about. Folks, unless you don't have to do anything negative, but unless you do something positive, the weeds will take over and consume a garden. Okay, you don't have to do anything negative. You don't have to go out there and fertilize the weeds. You don't have to do that. All you got to do is do nothing. You do nothing, and the weeds are going to literally take over a plot of ground where your garden is in no time. You know that. Good. I'm talking about good corporately. Good. If it is maintained, will influence those around it, and others possibly could be touched by those who were around good. For instance, if I will maintain good as a child of God in my life, and hopefully I will be able to influence Brother Luke here, who works with me, and not only works with me, but is my son. And if I can influence Brother Luke for good, then maybe possibly he can influence people he touches for good. Good has that power if good is maintained. But if there is no good, then it's amazing how quickly the lack of good can go bad. I didn't say bad. I said the lack of good can go bad. And the bad is easily carried on to people around us. And in fact, it can be carried on to groups of people or generations of people. By the lack of good, bad or evil can multiply. In the absence of good and right, bad and wrong multiplies and multiplies quickly. Or as somebody put it many years ago, all it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do evil. No. To do nothing. To be neutral. It's the danger of neutrality. Beware the neutral generation. Neutrality is extremely dangerous. Now, when we get to Judges chapter 2 in this passage, and I know this is a passage that you've heard preached from before. It seems to me that somebody referenced it, maybe even in the Revival Fires Conference. I don't recall. I can't remember, but this message did not grow out of that. It grew out of just my own personal prayer time and waiting on the Lord about what to preach to Faith Baptist Church. There are three generations mentioned in Judges chapter 2. Look at verse number 7. You'll see the first generation. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. So you got Joshua's generation. Then you've got a second generation in verse number 7. All the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. So there is a generation that went on longer, if you will, past Joshua's generation. Then you drop down to verse number 10, and the Bible says that that generation was gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them. So you got three generations, if you will. I'm not putting any kind of time or year span to the word generation. Just you understand, we're talking about multiple years, okay? You got Joshua's generation, his peers. You've got those that were younger than him, that outlived him. And then you've got this other generation that rose up after the second one. Now, I want you to notice in verse number 7 that Joshua's generation worked or served God. You see that? And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. They worked. They were moving forward. They were in drive. This is the generation that entered the land of Canaan. Think about it. Remember this, folks. This is the generation that crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. This is the generation that conquered the city of Jericho by their complete obedience to God. The only thing that knocked down the walls of that city was the power of God through those people's complete obedience. Walking around those walls, okay? Seven times on the seventh day. This is the generation that experienced defeat because of sin and overconfidence at Ai. This is the generation that saw God cause the sun to stand still. This is the generation that saw God use giant hailstones to defeat the immense army of the enemy. In fact, the Bible says that more died from the hailstones than died from the sword of the Hebrews. Think about that. More died from the hail than from the actual battle with the Hebrews, the army. This is the generation that saw God work as they served Him. What they experienced was because they served. In the process of serving, there was activity. This was the generation that labored or worked or served God under Joshua's leadership. Now, let's jump ahead to that third generation. Down in verse number 10. This is the generation that arose after the generation that outlived Joshua's generation. Okay? This generation in verse number 10 wandered. They wandered. You see that in verse number 10. You see it especially in verse number 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. They worshipped Balaam. They served Balaam. They worked for Balaam. Look at verse number 13. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. They served Balaam. They wandered away from the service of the true God. They followed other gods. They served Baal and Ashtaroth. They did not just do nothing. They actively engaged in serving idols. They actively gave themselves to evil and to wickedness as they followed these false gods. Joshua's generation was going forward. This generation was going in reverse. Balaam is plural for Baal. Baal was the principal male god of the Canaanites. And each locality within the land had their own special Baal. You read about him in Scripture. Baal Gad, Baal Haman, Baal Hanan, Baal Hazor, Baal Peor, Baal Tamar. All of these were idols. All of them were actively being worshipped with pagan ritual and pagan ceremonies that were vile and wicked. The Bible mentions Ashtaroth in verse number 13. That's plural for Ashtoreth. She was the principal female goddess that was associated with the male god of Baal. Now, people, stop. Let's engage in thinking here. It went from the worship of one true God to the worship of multiple false gods and goddesses and idols in one generation. One. That's amazing. Went from one generation of Israelites serving God and seeing God do remarkable victories and remarkable things. This generation, this first generation was driving forward. They were seeing miracles take place. They were participating in victories. They were learning lessons from failures as well as victories. They were conquering. They were gaining. You know, yes, they had their troubles. When you are driving forward, you hit potholes, especially if you live in this area. You hit speed bumps. Once in a while you have a flat tire, the windshield gets cracked as you're driving forward. Once in a while there's maintenance that is required. But this they went from a generation driving forward to a generation in reverse, losing ground, out of control in one generation. Now, we're not talking about 1 or 2 years, but we are talking about one generation. Just one. From worshiping the one true God. And by the way, the God that brought them out of the land of Egypt. And now they're worshiping all these false gods and false idols. Now, why is that? That's because, in your vehicle, what is between forward and reverse? You know what kind of generation was between the one that was driving forward and the one that was going in reverse? A neutral generation. The neutral generation. Between this generation that was driving forward and this generation that is careening in reverse. And by the way, they're not just slowly backing up. They are worshiping multiple gods and goddesses with filthy, vile ritual. So they're backwards in one generation. And between those two generations was the generation of the elders who outlived Joshua. They saw all the works of the Lord, but they never experienced them personally. That's the generation that watched. That's that. And just watched. This is the generation who saw all the battles, but never fought any battles. This is the generation who saw the thrill of victory, but never experienced it personally. This is the generation that saw the agony of defeat, but never tasted its bitterness. This is the neutral generation who just sat and watched. They weren't wicked. They weren't vile. But they never worked. They never served. And the lack of positive influence inevitably led to the wandering, contributed to the wandering of the next generation. They never did anything bad or evil. No. They didn't do anything bad or evil. The truth is they didn't do anything. Nothing. And in the absence of good, evil multiplied in one generation. The neutral generation. The neutral generation is a dangerous generation. Beware the neutral generation. Neutrality, what is it? Webster said that neutrality was the state of being, now listen, unengaged. Unengaged in disputes or contests. The state of taking no part on either side. A state of indifference in feeling or principle. That's what this generation was. People, this generation was not anti-God. They just weren't proactive for God. This generation eventually contributed to the proactiveness of the evil of the next generation. You know, not doing anything is bad. It's not the doing of bad. Yes, the doing of bad is wrong, but it's the power of not doing anything that's just as bad, folks. The neutrality. So a fair question for you and me in this room tonight is this: are we in forward or are we in neutral? Well, you say, well, I'm not that bad. That's not the question. The question is, are you in forward? Or are you in neutral? If you're in neutral, you say, well, it's not bad for me. Okay, it may not be bad for you, but what about the next generation? You see, are we in forward? Are we in neutral in our personal life? Are we in forward? Are we in neutral in our families? Are we in forward? Are we in neutral as far as our church goes? Are we driving forward? Or are we disengaged in neutral? And I am concerned that some are going to be shocked at the direction of your grandchildren because you are in a state of Christian neutrality. It's not that you're doing bad. You're just not doing anything. Like the second generation here. Like the neutral generation. Families, listen very carefully, can be one generation removed from a complete lack of God consciousness. One generation. That's what happened in the nation of Israel. One generation. Not just not serving God, serving idols. A lack of God consciousness. And it's not because of all the wrong somebody's doing. It's because of the lack of good. Now you think about that a little bit. Just run that through your mind. If we are not proactive for good and right with our children, then our grandchildren can be worse than inactive. They will be proactive for bad and wrong. If we are not active, then we are inactive, and inactivity leads to proactivity, but in the wrong direction. Contributes to it. Are you in neutral tonight, folks? Only you can decipher that. I can't be that judge. You can't be that judge. But I'm telling you what, it concerns me. And just as it concerned me, you know, about our church, it concerns me about Christianity in general in this day and age. Are you in neutral or are you driving forward? Which generation are you in? If you're in neutral, you could be contributing to the reverse of the next generation. This is what happened here in this scripture. Now, let me give you three lessons tonight. I think I got three. Yes, three lessons tonight about this. Number one, I must be driving forward or the next generation will be drifting backwards. I must be driving forward or the next generation will be drifting backwards. How many times have I met someone who's, you're at the door, you're making a visit, and the lifestyle of that home is clearly void of God consciousness? You know what I'm talking about? Some of you folks that knock doors and visit and talk to people, you know what I'm talking about. You're standing at a house where it's absolutely clear that there is a void of any kind of God consciousness in that house. You're witnessing to them, and they say to you, "My grandpa was a preacher." I say, "Well, what kind?" And you'd be shocked how often. He was a Baptist. And I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, from a Baptist preacher to this? What in the world happened? I mean, it's not even close to a God consciousness. Not even close. There's no indication of any kind of God consciousness in the house. Just the opposite. And your grandpa was a Baptist preacher. And I don't know that I've ever really done it, but I just am tempted sometimes to say to them, "What happened?" But folks, if you could analyze that, I think we would be shocked to find out how really close to what happened here it is. You had a generation that was driving forward, followed by a generation who didn't do wrong. They just did nothing. Did nothing. And ultimately, that contributed to the next generation going in reverse. Now listen very closely. Some in this assembly, in this church, are becoming so neutral in your Christianity. You must be careful. You know what? I'm not doing anything bad. That's not the problem. The problem is you're not driving forward. You're not moving forward. I'm preaching to the wrong crowd tonight. I should have preached this on Sunday morning, I guess, in some respects. But some the attitude toward attending the services of the church, I'm going to tell you something. Some of that, the attitudes of some people in this church are putting the next generation in danger. It's not your kids, it's your grandkids. Because your kids are going to take it a step further into neutrality. And when one generation is locked into neutrality, the next phase is reverse. And when I say come to church, I mean being in the church. In the service. I mean walking around in the hallways. I mean being in the services, in the auditorium where the preaching is going forth. Look, folks, I'm all happy for the Facebook Live. And people say, "Man, I got to watch it." But listen very carefully. Facebook Live is not going to church. That's not being in church. No way. Impossible. Impossible. Because when the assembly comes together, we are built up as an habitation for God. You're not going to sit that in your recliner drinking Coca-Cola, eating potato chips, and watching the service on Facebook Live. Now, if you're somebody who's sick and recovering from a surgery, maybe God does something special. But if you're too lazy to get to the service, that's not going to church. And people come to church and stay out of the auditorium. Find reason to walk around. Get in the service. What's going to happen to the next generation? You've got to be thinking about that. It's not that you're anti-church. It's that you're less than pro-church. You're neutral. And, you know, it's like, you know, well, if I get there, fine. If I don't, then, you know, well, it's not the end of the world. Maybe not for you. But what about the next generation? Don't be shocked when your grandchildren don't go to church and tell a soul winner that comes by their house, yeah, my grandparents used to go to church some. Amen. It's the neutral generation. It's the generation that's mired in neutrality. It's not that we're doing anything. We're not gambling. We're not smoking. We're not doping. We're not drinking. We're not, you know, messing around with lasciviousness and wicked immorality. But we're not in forward. You're not moving forward. Drive, drive, drive. There's only three positions on the gear selector. Drive, neutral, and reverse. And folks, you want to be in drive. You want to be in drive. Driving forward is paying the price to be in services. It is making it to church on vacation. It is making it when it would be less pressure, easy to stay at home. It's getting up and going to church. I'll be honest with you. I got people in my family sitting here. They know there are times on Sunday evening or Wednesday evening in certain locations in the country when there's not a decent church to attend. And we'll have roadside Baptist church, and I'll bring a lesson, or somebody will preach. But on Sunday morning, we get up and go, even if it's less than good. Because I don't want to get in the habit of being in neutral. Being in neutral. Just sticking that thing in. And just coasting, because neutrality is dangerous. Driving forward is where the child of God should be in areas of the Christian life. We must be driving forward, or the next generation could be drifting backward. Let me say this, number two tonight. Christian responsibilities will be completely lost in future generations. Completely lost. Now you say, what do you mean, Pastor? Here's what I mean. There will be, if God's people aren't in forward about the matter of witnessing and getting the gospel out, there will be a future generation earmarked by no soul winning, no witnessing, none, zero, zip. Case in point, the Salvation Army went from driving forward under General William Booth to ringing bells at Christmas time. And collecting everybody's throwaways today. Now, how did that happen, folks? How did it go from an organization that was over, just consumed with the salvation of getting the gospel message to the poor? How did that, to ringing bells? Somewhere along the way, a generation became neutral about getting the gospel to the poor. I don't know that the Salvation Army has ever done anything evil, but it just went into neutral. Didn't drive forward. And now they're earmarked by collecting money at Christmas time. And they start, it seems like the 1st of November. Ring, 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 ring. You think, good grief. And I'm not hateful to the Salvation Army. Sometimes I put a dollar in a bucket just for the memory of General William Booth, who gave his heart to getting the gospel to the poor. There will be no soul winning in a future generation if some generation of Christianity becomes neutral about it. There will be a Christian generation in the future that is earmarked by complete gender blending, because a previous generation was neutral. Because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to take any kind of stand about sodomite marriages or say anything negative about it, because you know we got a friend or we got a relative, and so we're just gonna I'm not for it, but I'm not gonna. Other people might be for it, and that's okay. No, it's not okay. It's the neutral generation. It's a generation that doesn't want to take a stand. Generation that doesn't want to make any waves. Doesn't want to hit any potholes. Doesn't want to have any flat tires. Just wants to go down, not even concerned about driving forward. Let's just put it in neutral. Okay? Just put it in neutral. We don't want to take a stand for right, because what results from that stand for right is we hurt people's feelings, and we don't want to ever be guilty of that. So a lack of stand for right results in a super slide for wrong by the next generation. This is what I'm talking about. It's the neutral generation. Invitations at church? Well, who needs an invitation? I don't need an invitation. We don't need to waste the time anymore having people come forward and pray. Folks, when we go into neutral on that, where is that going to go from neutral? Where's it going to go next? I'll tell you where it's going to go next. And that's what the Bible says. Amen. Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed. God bless the service. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next time. How do you go from an invitation with people kneeling and praying and pouring their soul out to God to no invitation? You have a generation in between that just becomes neutral. It's not that they're against it. They don't ever do it. I got my maid. I don't have anything. I don't have done. I'm not against it, but neutral. Have a Christian generation that someday is going to come to church looking like they're going to the beach. It's going to be the thing. Because we don't dress up. Folks, if some generation doesn't drive forward in the dressing up for church because church is important and church is right, where's that going to go eventually? Where's it going to go? It's the neutral generation. It's a generation that just is tired of putting it in drive. And by the way, you do get tired of putting it in drive. You get tired of always pressing forward on these matters. But I want to tell you something. The danger is going into neutral on it. It's not the proactivity of being wrong or bad. It's just the inactivity of being in drive that eventually leads to the going in reverse. I told the Sunday school teachers, there's a pastor in this state right now in an independent Baptist church going through a series on emojis in the Christian life. That is the subject matter of his sermons. Emojis. I'm going to tell you why. Because people are not in forward about old-fashioned preaching anymore. They're not forward about it. Don't encourage it. And I like it when the pastor raises his voice. I like it when he deals with things that are wrong. I like it when the gospel plow, the biblical plow, comes down my pew and just kind of gets a little close to the fence post. I need that. We get out of driving forward in Bible preaching and put it in neutral. And the next thing you got is some guy talking about emojis. Heaven, help us. What has happened to the generation of the voices like Harold Seitler and Tom Malone and these men like Lester Roloff? Can you imagine Lester Roloff preaching on emojis? They'd be rolling over in their grave. Emojis? Man, I've been listening to some of old Brother Harold Seitler's messages. There's no emojiness in those things. I'll tell you what, none. No emojiness whatsoever. And you preach, and in the Bible, and they get the topic, and he raises his voice, and they get happy, preach! Let's study the emoji of the mad emoji this morning. You say, how do we go from this to that? Neutrality. What's between forward and reverse? Neutral. We got a generation of young adults coming up in Christian circles, fundamental Baptist circles, who really, they just don't want to get down and dirty. They don't want it. We don't want to be confrontational. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to take a stand. We don't want to do wrong, but we just want to be nice. Nice starts with N. Like neutral starts with N. I'm not saying go out of your way to be ugly, folks, but I'm telling you something. You better beware of the danger of neutrality. What did Paul say? I think he said, I press toward the mark. That doesn't sound like neutrality to me. Press. Fight for right. Stand for right. Be in drive. Push forward. I don't want to be the generation that contributes to the next generation going in reverse. I don't want to do that. Number three question for us tonight. Are you a watcher? Are you a watcher? Are you in neutral? Or are you driving forward? It is not the presence of wrong and evil that I am concerned about tonight. It is the absence of driving forward. It's neutrality. It's coasting. It's coasting at home. It's coasting at church. It's coasting in our personal responsibility, being God's child. You say, Pastor, it's not going to kill me. No, it probably won't. But what will it do to the generation that comes behind you? What will it do? Will it contribute to that generation going in reverse? It's not the doing of evil, folks. It's the doing of nothing. It's the absence of good. The absence of going forward. It's the neutral generation. It's watching instead of serving. And you go from serving God to watching to the next generation serving Baal. One generation. And by the way, if you don't think that the outside pressure of this day and age, the anti-God pressure in this day and age is similar to what the Israelites were living in the land of Canaan, just read your Bible closely. They had people all around them in the land of Canaan that were wicked as wicked could be. And you get a generation following the neutral generation with the pressure of the anti-God, and you got a generation going in reverse before you can blink an eye. Slip the gear shift back in drive. Get it out of neutral before the generation that follows you puts it in reverse. Stay on the cutting edge, folks. Like the song in our hymn book. I don't know if it's in our hymn book, but it's in some other hymn books. If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. What that means, keep it in drive. Keep it going forward. Don't slip it into neutral. Because neutrality is dangerous. It can contribute to the next generation going in reverse. I don't know how much of an impact I'll make on this generation for driving forward, but I certainly don't want to impact possibly the next generation, but to go in neutral and the next generation to go in reverse. I plan on keeping it in D, driving forward till my time is up. I do not want to become part of the neutral generation. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Thank you for listening, Heavenly Father. I pray that you'll please convey the message, the truth, beyond the words that I can use to convey this truth. I pray that you will help people here tonight to put it in drive personally, at home, in their Christian service. God, may we not be guilty of being that neutral generation that just wants to watch. We don't want to get our hands dirty, taste the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. I do not want to contribute, God, to our generation going in reverse. Please help me. And help Faith Baptist Church, not just corporately here at the corner of Mooney and Washington Armor, but Lord, help us in our homes. Help us in our personal lives to keep it in forward. Keep it in drive. No matter how much ground we cover, just inching along for the cause of Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Are you in neutral tonight? It's not that you can, it's not that you can really, there's nothing evil. There's nothing evil going on, but there's just no proactive for God. It's the neutrality. It's the generation of neutrality. It's dangerous. It eventually leads, contributes to the generation that goes in reverse. I want to avoid that. Pastor, as you're preaching tonight, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart specifically about some area, maybe of my Christian life or just my attitude towards it in general. I need to get that gear shift back up in D. I need to move forward to some degree. I need to get moving. I don't want to contribute to a next generation going in reverse. God dealt with me specifically tonight about my own personal Christian attitude, spirit, and responsibility. Pray for me as you close the message. Just slip your hand up in the air tonight. I appreciate that. Amen. Amen. It is important. It is important. Inactivity may not kill you, but it might lead the next generation, contribute to them going in reverse. If you're not saved tonight, the invitation is always open for salvation. The invitation is open for baptism. The invitation, the altar is open tonight for people to use it, driving forward. And if God didn't speak to your heart, don't be hypocritical and come. But if God spoke to you, use it. Let's drive forward. Let's move ahead. Doesn't matter how far or how fast. It's the direction that counts. Are we in forward tonight? Or have we slipped it in neutral? Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies are playing a song of invitation. You obey the Lord tonight. Let's stay out of neutral. Let's stay out of neutral.